Chapter number 8, Acts chapter number 8. Title of this morning's message is God is Interested in Individuals. God is interested in individuals. We left off last time, a few weeks ago, after we had the last two Sundays with our missions emphasis. We left off Philip last time having going to Samaria and having a form of revival that day. And this morning in our Sunday school class, we looked at a really interesting character found in Acts chapter number 8, verses 9 through 24, called Simon. He was a sorcerer. And if you have an interest in continuing along in the series, it should be online if you'd like to go look at that. And this morning, we're going to look in Acts chapter number 8. We're going to look at verses 26 through verse number 40. We're going to look at this idea that God is interested in individuals. Some people think that they're not special. Some people think that probably God doesn't care about them one bit. With this great big world of over 7 billion people in it, how does God care about me? I'm not significant. I'm not important. There's nothing special about me. And I want you to see in this story today that God takes Philip from a spot where they were having a great revival, where they were seeing many people saved, where there was a great need for discipleship and a great need for to be taught the doctrines of the scriptures. And God takes him and sends him to the desert. So why in the world would God take someone away from a place where there was great revival, where many people were being helped, and then sending him to a spot where it's in the desert, where there's only just one person interested? And here's the reason. God is interested in individuals. God is interested in each individual. He's not willing that any should perish. He has a desire to see each person saved. So I want you to get to this thought process, and as we continue and as we finish up our missions month, obviously all throughout the year we talk about reaching out. All throughout the year we want to see people saved. All throughout the year we want to see us doing the Great Commission, doing our part. But as we put this final emphasis on the last week of our missions month, let's think about it. God was interested in this Ethiopian eunuch just as much as God is interested in those people in Japan and South Korea, the Philippines and Brazil and Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, all around the room, and even for the countries that aren't represented here. God is interested in people and individuals. So what does that have to do with me? Well, God has commissioned us and God uses us. Guess as God's Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and says, you need to go talk to the man in the chariot. God speaks to us and prompts our hearts about, number one, being right with him. Remember, what are we supposed to be concerned with? We're supposed to be concerned with being spirit-filled. We're supposed to be concerned with our witness. And we're supposed to be concerned with others. And as when we are right and we're walking in the Spirit, we're asking God to lead us to the individuals that want to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Let's look in this story here. Acts chapter number 8, verses 26 through 40. Now this Philip, remember, he is not the apostle Philip. He is the deacon Philip. We already established that from verse number 1 in chapter number 8. Let's go here in verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So we see he has a special instruction. This is the angel of the Lord. Now, God could have sent the angel of the Lord to talk to the guy in the chariot. That's not how God works. Let's keep on going. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Now, I want you to understand that God has something for us to do. He wants us to get up from where we're at and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. I want you to see this individual that we're being introduced to. We see a man here. He is a Ethiopian eunuch. He is of great authority. We see his position. We see that he is in charge of her treasure. We would say this is a secretary of finance in a sense, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, as we're reading through the story, you're picturing what's happening here. This is not a guy riding by himself and he's directing the chariot himself. Now, this is a man that is very, very well established. He would have had guards around him. He would have had his own driver. So as you picture this, we're not talking about one little chariot and he's reading while he holds his hand and reading. That's not it at all. This would be an entourage. And this would be entourage is going and traveling through. And he's probably sitting in the back. And you can imagine this great, you know, big chariot, big wheels. He probably has something that's over top his head, some type of shade. And he's sitting there and he's reading. And let's see what happens. And it says in verse 28, he said, actually at the end of verse number 27, he said, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And we're going to learn a little bit about that in a second. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now picture Philip here. He has been sent to the desert. He has no idea why. He comes, he follows, he obeys. And now the Holy Spirit says, look, go talk to him. Now, once again, he could be intimidated by this large entourage. He could say, Lord, no, that's not for me. Those are different people. They're not people. No, he responds. What's it say in verse number 30? He doesn't even wait. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare that his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And most of us who recognize that from Isaiah 53, or a portion of Isaiah 53. And it says in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? What a great question. And think about Philip here is going to try to win this man to Christ. What better place from the Old Testament could he ask this question than this? Who are they talking about? And it says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized it. Now, just a little side note here. This is why we think baptism by the immersion is the biblical way of doing things. If he was just going to get sprinkled, why would they have to get wet? You know, they went down into the water to get baptized. Let's keep on going. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What a great story. What a great way to enter Missions Month. You know what? God loves individuals. God cared so much about this one individual. He took a guy away from a revival where many, many, many people were getting help. And he drew him to the desert to just talk to one man that was searching, one man that was seeking. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is interested in individuals. And we got to stop casting people as groups and saying, well, this group here and this group here. God loves souls. And what we need to understand is God desires to use us to bring souls to him. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that you just give me the words that you once said. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, use me in whatever way you choose. But Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we need to have your Holy Spirit of God to teach us some things this morning. Lord, I pray you burden our hearts. I know this is one of the things we like to push to the side. This is one of the things that some of us become cold about. Some of us maybe have a hard heart about. But Lord, remind us again. Reveal unto us again the passion you have for souls. That Jesus was willing to come to die on this cross so that others might be saved. Lord, speak to us. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see this morning is the first thing is the need every individual has. The need every individual has. I want to draw your attention to verse number 27 at the end. It says, it had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, if that had said he had come to Jerusalem to do some business, we would understand that. He was a high-ranking official. If he said he had come to Jerusalem to learn about political things, we'd understand that. But this Ethiopian eunuch must have been some type of proselyte to Judaism. At some point in time, his heart was convicted that the God of the Hebrews was the one true God, and he drove many, many many miles to come to Jerusalem to worship. But when he gets to Jerusalem, what does he see? Does he see the faith of that David was? Or you even go the step back farther. You think about Ethiopia, probably isn't that far away from Egypt. You think about it, maybe he had heard the stories of the Egyptians. And this past week in my devotions, I was reading about those 10 amazing plagues, and there's a spot in there that says, the earth is the Lord's. And I was like, man, that's it. The earth belongs to God. I belong to God. We belong to God. We're His. We should want to serve Him. But you come to this spot. We don't know how this man saw the importance of coming to Jerusalem to worship. But when he gets there, what does he find? He leaves in the dark. He leaves still reading. He leaves not understanding. He comes all the way to Jerusalem. You can imagine the excitement of his trip. I'm making this journey. I'm making this voyage to Jerusalem. I'm taking all these people with me because I think it's important to go to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. And when he gets there, what has he met with? A bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations, a bunch of dead men's bones when you think about the religious leaders. Because you can imagine this Ethiopian eunuch, when he goes on the scene, who's he going to talk to? He's going to talk to Ananias. He's going to talk to Caiaphas. He's going to be talking to the big wigs inside the religious. But what does he see? He sees a bunch of dead religion. He leaves this place, and he still doesn't know the truth. I want to remind you that in each of these countries, there's a bunch of dead religion. In each of these places, there are things that offer false hope, and we need the glorious gospel to come through. In the world that we live in today, in America that we live in today, there is plenty of false cults. There is plenty of different things that say they have the truth, but from what we understand, the Bible teaches us, Jesus Christ is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This Ethiopian eunuch came to Jerusalem to worship and one to learn of God and worship God, and he leaves just as much in the dark as he did when he got there. But here's the amazing thing is, God knows that he's looking, and God sends someone to help him. I want you to understand that every individual has a need. That need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, we are eternally separated from the God in heaven. And we need to reestablish that relationship. We do that by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ paid that price for us. We all know that. But here's the thing. Every individual has this need. There's a spot. And I heard one preacher put it this way. There's a spot in everyone's heart that the only person that can fill that is Jesus Christ. I like that analogy because he goes on to say, you know what? People try to fill it with drugs. People try to fill it with alcohol. People try to fill it with sex. People try to fill it with family. People try to fill that need with everything else. But there's only one thing that can bring peace, that can bring hope, and that can bring comfort. And that's Jesus Christ. Everybody has that need. Every individual you pass by in every country of the world has that need. And that's what this man's showing us. I mean, this man had everything. He had a power, he had a position, he had prosperity, but inside him there was still a void. Inside him there was something missing, a hole that only God himself can fill. And there are people all around the world today. But let's stop saying around the world and start saying there's people all around us today who has that exact same need. Outwardly, they may look like they have everything all together, but inwardly, they're empty because they need Jesus Christ. In Jerusalem, he picks up the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he travels on to read it. The first point is the need every individual has. The second point I want you to see is how God meets that need. How God meets that need. And I think this is a really cool story because you sit here and you look at it. And the angel of the Lord in verse 26 tells Philip to go. Verse 28, he's sitting there, he's reading. And at the exact right moment, it says in verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he goes and he runs, and this is the Holy Spirit speaking to him, and the Holy Spirit is unmistakable. He gets him there. He doesn't want to miss the person. No, he doesn't even want to miss the text. Look, the Holy Spirit knows exactly where to send Philip at the right time, at the right moment, and you see how Philip responds. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read. See, if Philip would have waited, if Philip would have said, look at all those people, look at those guards, look at all these things, I'm not going to go over there, you know what? He could have missed it. He might not have heard him reading Isaiah. He wouldn't have the opportunity to ask the question, do you understand what you read? It's important that we realize the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God is not something we negotiate about. It's something that we obey. You don't see him sit there and say, oh, should I obey? Should I not obey? He says, no, God tells me to go. I'm going to take off. I'm not going to walk slowly. And sometimes when we go to visit somebody and we got a track, sometimes we'll be like, he goes, he takes off, and he runs to the chariot, and you see it, how the Holy Spirit works out. And he said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The Holy Spirit knew that this man was searching. The Holy Spirit knew that Philip was ready and able to help him. And the place of the scripture where he was read was this. He directs the man of God to go here. And you think about it, the exact perfect moment. He could have been nervous. He could have said no, maybe later. He could have just walked and not run. But God had prepared this exact moment, especially for Philip to help this man. I want you to see how God meets this need. First of all, Jesus Christ met our need on Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophecy of what's going to happen with Jesus Christ as he's standing before those religious leaders, and as he is crucified on the cross. He met our need. We were in need of a Savior. Our sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ saw, and the Bible says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw our need. He knew we needed God's help. We couldn't get to heaven on our own. Jesus Christ died for our sins so you could have a way to heaven. He met that need for us. Now, what does he do to use that? What does he do to bring people to Christ? There's three things in this. And I think these are three things that God uses to help meet the need. First thing is, I think the Holy Spirit of God's moving is something God uses to bring somebody to Christ. For instance, if you have somebody you want to talk to, you have somebody you want to see saved, you know what? The Holy Spirit's the one that has to draw them. He has to do the work. You need to be right with God. You need to be spirit-filled, but you need to listen to the promptings of God. You go up to somebody and say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes somebody will slam the door in the face. Sometimes they'll say, not interested. Sometimes they might mock you. Other times they might listen kindly. But here at this story, you can see how the Holy Spirit had it all set up and ready for Philip. Now, it doesn't always work that way. The Bible says sometimes some people plant, some people water, some people reap. I understand that. But when the Holy Spirit tells us to move, it is how he brings people to Christ. The Spirit of God has gone ahead. He has prepared the heart. He also has prepared the messenger. This leading of God is absolutely necessary. We should listen to the Spirit's leading. We should definitely talk to God about men before we go talk to men about God. We should always say, God, I want to see people saved. God, I want you to use me. I need the Holy Spirit's God to help, to send me to the right area, to send me to the right person. I don't know about you. If you're sensitive to God and God's leading, he's going to tell you, hey, you should give out a tract. Hey, you should talk to this person about salvation. It's the Holy Spirit of God that leads men and prepares hearts for the salvation message. But not only is it the Holy Spirit, you see in this story here that Holy Spirit, He knows exactly what's happening. He knows the Ethiopian eunuch's ready. He knows that he went to Jerusalem. He turns away in the darkness. He knows Philip is ready. He prepares Philip's heart. But he also uses the word of God. And in this story, you see he is using Isaiah 53. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does God meet the need in the world today? He doesn't send the angel of the Lord to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. Could he? He could if he wanted to. He's God. But instead, he chooses the Holy Spirit to prepare the heart so of not only the eunuch, but also Philip. But he also uses the Word of God. I think the Word of God is essential. The Holy Spirit is using the Word of God to prepare the heart of this Ethiopian eunuch. I want to help you understand, it's not about your charisma. It's not about tricking someone. It's not about convincing someone. It's about using the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit of God work on their heart and work on their mind for their need for salvation. It's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit using the Word of God so we can see people saved. You know, how do people go from America and they go into all these areas where they know no one, they look different, they act different, they eat different things? It's because the Holy Spirit prepares hearts and uses the Word of God to see people saved. The Bible says, you say, Pastor, where do you see that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the fowler thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Listen to the beginning. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. You need to have the word of God present when you're trying to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. It's not you explaining it, even just using a portion of the word of God, helping explain it. But the word of God, I believe, needs to be present when reaching people with Jesus Christ. Not only does he use the Holy Spirit and the word of God, but he directs men to be used of God too. Like I said, he could have done anything he wanted. He could have chosen to use the rocks to tell people. And wouldn't that have been kind of crazy? A rock by your house telling you, hey, look, you need to be saved. I mean, that would have caused a lot of us to consider. He could have used the angels. He chose to use us. What a blessing. Don't use it as a excuse and don't say, man, I wish he would have done something else. Embrace the fact he chooses to use you. What a blessing. He wants to use you as a minister of Jesus Christ, a minister of the word to the lost world. Don't sit there and say, I can't do it. No. He has given you the opportunity to help change lives. What you have in your hand is a life-changing message. It is an exciting thing that the world needs. I've told you before, when I was in college, I worked as a telemarketer, probably the worst job I ever had in my life. I used to clean bathrooms at a truck stop. Hey, I'd rather clean the bathrooms at the truck stop better than being a telemarketer and calling them up, telling them they needed a credit card when they already had 10 or 15 credit cards. They targeted the people and said, hey, look, and you know what? I didn't stay there very long. It paid better than the other jobs, but I guess could not keep on trying to convince people that they needed a credit card to transfer their balances so that way, you know, they could get out. It was a bad job. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to call people and give them something they didn't need. The gospel is something every individual needs. The gospel is something that we should not be ashamed of. The gospel is something that is the power of God to salvation. And if you're saved here this morning, God used the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and some type of individual, whether it's leaving a track at a phone booth or whether it be from the preaching and teaching of God's Word or whether it had been the authors of the Bible, he used an individual to help bring you to Christ in one way or another. We need to follow the Spirit's leading. And I think it's, once again, my favorite part of this story is the fact that the man gets saved, but, you know, the gospel text that Philip is found at, he has a great opening. He's reading in the Old Testament. He is a sinner seeking. He's reading the scriptures. Philip brings him to the spot and he says, hey, look what it says. He asks this question. Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about another? Look what it says in verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? I imagine what his answer is. Maybe you could hear Philip say something like this. Why, sir, the prophet speaks of some other man. And what a man he is. He is the Christ, Jesus, the promised Messiah of the Jewish people. Born, as Isaiah said, of a virgin. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, upon whose shoulder the government is yet to be set upon. This is the one who was taken from prison and from judgment, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And Philip could retrace the tragedy of Calvary. He could speak of the resurrection. He could speak of the ascension. He would be telling of the coming. He would tell him of the spirit of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. He'd tell him about the Great Commission. He'd tell him about how we're supposed to preach the gospel and be baptized and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You can imagine when he opens up the door, and sometimes this someone's heart's ready and says, can you show me? Who is this? And Philip could say, this is Jesus. And he could show him from Isaiah, this is what Jesus Christ did for you. And he was just at Jerusalem. All the controversy is going over in Jerusalem. All the thousands have been saved. I'm sure he heard the story about Jesus. And he could point him right there. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed and accepted Christ. Look what it says in verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him all the things he did in Samaria. Doesn't say that, does it? He talked about all the great things of the church of Jerusalem. Doesn't say that. He says he presents to him Jesus Christ. When we're trying to reach people, The Bible's got to be in it. And once again, you can see he doesn't go up there and start beating him over the head with the Word of God. He begins a conversation, and that's how you usually start it. You begin a conversation, and he says, "Well, do you understand what you read?" Sometimes when I talk to individuals and I talk to people, it begins sometimes as a general conversation that we begin pointing people to a spiritual matters, and we just need to be faithful to the Spirit's leading. You've seen the story. The Spirit did all the work here. We gotta stop trying in our own strength and trying in our own power, but instead be submissive to God's will and let God lead us and prompt us and just reach out to those He lays upon our hearts. And I think another thing you see here is Philip knew the Scriptures. I don't know about you, but if I went around the room and said, how many of you would feel comfortable about bringing someone else to Christ? So I feel comfortable with that. I take them right to you, Pastor. Or I take them right to this person. No. How many of us could actually say, you know, this is what the Bible says? We need to memorize at least some Scriptures. We need to have some understanding of how to point people to Christ. And it is just, you don't have to have the whole Bible memorized, but there is no excuse. There is no excuse for ignorance when it comes to it. Many of us have been saved for many years, and we just tell the story about what Jesus Christ has done in our own lives. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable around certain people. Well, can you imagine this Jew speaking to an Ethiopian eunuch? I'm sure he wouldn't have felt comfortable. I've seen people saved from that are of different races, of different different lifestyles, different age groups, different money abilities, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's not about connectability. It's not about relatability. It's about serving the Holy Spirit of God when He directs your heart. So you say, everyone has a need. Second thing, you see how God meets that need. Jesus Christ met our need on Calvary. Now, how does He get the word out? He tells us to go. He tells us to be a part. Now, we can't go to all these places, but we can give so other people can go to those places. But we can go in our own Jerusalem, our own Elizabeth City, our own Camden, our own Belvedere, our own Hertfords, our own wherever it is that you live, whether it be South Mills, and we can try to reach people with the gospel. Some of you go to school. Some of you go to a different work spot. Some of you go to different clubs. You know what? The greatest need that individuals has is Jesus Christ. The third thing is, number one is, every person has a need. They might look like they're all put together, but every individual has a hole and a spot in their heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. Secondly, how does God fill that? Jesus Christ already paid the price. Now He uses His Holy Spirit, He uses His Word, and He uses individuals to help bring people to Christ. Do you follow the promptings like Philip did? Are you ready and available to be used of God like Philip was? And next, last thing is, what happens when God meets the need? What happens when God meets need? And you know, it's pretty obvious. We know the story here. It says in verse 36, and they went on their way. They came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Say, Pastor, I don't get that verse. What do you mean, believe with all thine heart? Well, we learned in Sunday school today, there was a guy named Simon who I believe was not a convert who had added himself to the church. I don't think Philip wanted to be fooled again. He was saying, make sure you understand, make sure you truly believe that He is the Christ. Make sure they understand. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just a little side note here. Bear with me for a second. If you have a different version of the Bible, some of the versions don't have that Bible, that verse in there. They thought it wasn't necessary. They took it away. We stick with using our King James because it is different than some other ones. And I know not all of them have that, but some of them have it written somewhere else, but it causes doubt. Here, this is important. It helps you understand that the Ethiopian eunuch got something. He understood that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you look at all the different cults in the world, they all have something different to say about Jesus Christ. He was a good man. He was a created being. He was this. He was that. That's where you can tell whether or not a person is truly saved. Tell me what you think about Jesus Christ. He was God that came and became man to die for the sins of mankind. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father today. That's who Jesus Christ is. And you keep on going in. It says, and He commanded the chariot to stand still. So we see this man get saved. So what happens when God meets a need? The first thing that happens is a life has changed. The Bible says he becomes a new creature. He is called from darkness into his marvelous light. He becomes a child of God. He's no longer under condemnation. He has the Holy Spirit of God living in him. He has a home in heaven. What the wonderful truths of what happens when an individual becomes a Christian. When he meets a need, there's a change. But I also want you to think about this. This man, the Ethiopian eunuch, goes home and tells the story. See, in the story of the Philip and the eunuch, we learn that God always has a purpose in his callings. You know, some of us would say, well, couldn't he reach more people in Samaria? Maybe so. But the Bible tells us, history tells us, from a human standpoint, it made little sense to leave a great revival and go into the desert. Yet, it was the desert where Philip met this eunuch. And when he returned to Ethiopia, he founded the Coptic Church, which for many centuries was one of the largest group of believers in all the world. And if you go and do some study of Christian churches at the beginning during this time period, it's a very interesting study, the influence that this one individual had in his community. He changed the world for Christ. Throughout the Bible, we can see what God can do with a changed life. Next week, we're going to look at Paul. And we're going to see what Paul, and that changed life that happened when he went from Saul to Paul. What a difference. So how do we take this from today? You know, as we look at this, we hear about missions, we hear about salvation, we hear about reaching out. Many of us like to ignore it. But as we close our missions month, I want you to get to this spot and understand God loves individuals. The person you live next to that you get tired of their music or because their animal goes into your yard, God loves that person too. The person you sit next to in school that annoys you to death, or the one that you stare at because you think they're cute, you know, God loves that individual. The person you work with, you know, the person that you sit next to at the restaurant, and listen to the Spirit's prompting. You say, how? Get right with God. Be surrendered to His will. Let Him have control. Let Him do what He did with Philip. You mean every person I talk to is going to get saved? There's no guarantee of that. We see that when Paul goes into the cities and he preaches at the synagogues, he gets thrown out most times. But there is some that believe. I'm telling you that we need to follow the Holy Spirit's longing, His promptings in our lives. Philip here, the amazing story is that this man was ready. God knew he was ready. God prepares the heart of Philip. He doesn't send one of the apostles. Why? I don't know. But he sends Philip. Philip doesn't hesitate. God says go. God says speak. And he takes off, he runs, and God has this man's heart completely ready to be responsive. God meets the need. The work is dependent upon God, but we must learn to submit to Him. I read this story on Wednesday night, and I know a number of people enjoyed it, and I know many of you were not here. It's a story about the song entitled, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. The author of the song, Stuart Hamlin, was a popular singer, songwriter, actor, poet, and radio personality from the 1930s through the 1950s. He was first a hit on radio, but appeared in films with Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and John Wayne. And he wrote several chart-topping country songs. Some have called him radio's first singing cowboy. Well, Billy Graham came to the Los Angeles area in 1949 for what became an historic evangelistic crusade. Graham's appearance on Hamlin's show was arranged as part of the publicity for the crusade. Hamlin was known for his hard living and his drinking, but he warmly welcomed Graham as a guest. It was at that interview that Graham extended an invitation to Hamlin to attend the crusade, and he accepted. Hamlin later contacted Graham at his hotel and asked to talk. The result was that he surrendered his life to Christ. Hamlin's became the first publicized conversion at that 1949 crusade, and it contributed to the decision to extend the event. This crusade lasted for 8 weeks. Hamlin later ran into John Wayne, who asked him about the rumor around town that changed his ways. Hamlin told Wayne that it was no secret what God had done for him, and that he could do it for Wayne also. Wayne said that sounded like a song and suggested he wrote one. And the result was Hamlin's best-known tune, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. You know, it is no secret what God can do in our lives. It really isn't, not to us, because we've seen what He does. But why do we keep it a secret on what He can do for someone else? I'm telling you, I wonder where our priorities are at sometimes. I wonder where my priorities are at sometimes. When? seeing people saved or helping others go isn't something that's important to us. Let us pray and let us see how God can use us when it comes to world evangelism. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, you have a need in your life that will never be filled by anything else but Jesus Christ. Come forward this morning. Let us have someone show you and take the Bible how you can be saved on your way to heaven. I'll be down front if you're interested in learning more about how to become a Christian. And if you're here this morning and you've been through missions conference and you've heard this message and your heart hasn't been affected, ask yourself why. When's the last time we have ever told somebody about who Jesus Christ was? It should burden us. It troubles me that I'm not that troubled. It troubles me that many of us are not troubled, that people are dying and going to hell, and we're not bothered by it. Let's ask God to give us a burden this morning. We know He wants us to do it. He told us to go into all the world. He told us to preach it to every creature. Let's ask God to give us a burden so we can see others saved. Let's follow the Spirit's promptings. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.